Hi there, I'm Dr. John White, WebMD's Chief Medical Officer and host of the Health Discovered podcast, where we bring you fascinating stories and unique perspectives, like our recent episode on how heart failure can particularly affect women in Black and Hispanic communities.
We've documented it time and time again. She was young, she was Black, she was a woman. No one expected her to look like the face of heart failure. When you don't look like what someone expects, that's going to lead to delays in diagnosis. We all have to take this constellation of symptoms, treat it the same each and every time, whether it's a young person, a Black person, a woman. If someone presents to me with my heart racing and feeling winded, I need to get an echocardiogram 100% of the time, regardless.
Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why did the Clippers automatically rule themselves out of winning the NBA championship by acquiring James Harden?
I wouldn't say it's ruling them out. Like, here's the thing. Here's what I would pose to you. Instead of looking at this as a postseason move, why aren't you looking at this as maybe a regular season move, that you need somebody of semi-high caliber, someone that almost ended up being an all-NBA player last year,
right,
despite everything? You need somebody high caliber to soak up the minutes, because we know Paul George is going to miss 20 to 25 games. Kawhi Leonard's right, not going to make that many appearances. Russell Westbrook, God bless him, he'll show up. You don't know which one is going to show up. I mean, if you're going to tell me a poo-poo platter of Marcus Morris, KJ Martin, a protected first-rounder in 2026, and an unprotected one in 2028. Like, if you're telling me that's going to get me someone who's going to soak up so many minutes in the regular season to where you can do some things and you can strategically rest guys, and with Steve Ballmer's money, you might even be able to absorb a fine or two if you violate the new player rest rules. I don't see how this is anything but a win for the Clippers right now.
All right, here's why it isn't a win, because that would be great if the Clippers could get all the way into the postseason and then send James Harden to, I don't know, Cabo. Because ultimately, Harden's going to want to play in the playoffs. And assuming, and maybe this is a terrible assumption, assuming that Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook, not to mention, I mean, I think a good young player in Bones Highland, Norman Powell, they've got a good team. So my brain tells me that this was a move for a move's sake and not necessarily will make them better, because when they get to the postseason, I'm still sure that they can only use one basketball. And I just mentioned a bunch of players that all need the ball, right? Russ needs the ball. Paul George needs the ball. Kawhi Leonard needs the ball. James Harden, he needs the ball. So Kawhi's going to have it. I don't get it.
But also, here's the thing. We're forgetting that Ty Lue's what? Top five coach in the league? Top three?
Yeah, why does Ty Lue want this?
If anything, I trust Ty Lue to figure this one out.
Okay.
Like, I do think that, you absolutely have a point with, there's only one ball, and some of this does reek, and I know you'll love this reference.
Oh, gosh.
Of Stephon Marbury, Steve Francis, that backcourt. I understand your concern with this. I also think if we look at this as if this means Kawhi has less wear and tear in his body coming down the stretch, this is a good thing. If this means Paul George has much less wear and tear on his body, then this is a good thing. I just don't think, the thing is, I'm not assuming that James Harden is going to be all in the postseason plans. If he becomes super sixth man along with Russ and it changes the bench up a little bit, I kind of like this for them.
Okay.
I think they're going to be fine. And more importantly, they kept Terrence Mann out of this deal, which
yes,
I think is a really, really important piece, because now they're 10 deep. They're still 10 deep no matter what. I think they're going to be good. And also at the same point, and I know you'll agree with me on this, it really doesn't matter because Denver's still going to steamroll them anyway.
That's a very good point. Keeping Terrence Mann out and keeping Mason Plumlee out of the deal, That was also huge for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Well, that'll transition us to the Hornets here. They declined the option on James Bouknight's contract, the future option, which doesn't surprise anybody. Is this sort of a window into one of the Hornets' really big problems over the last several years, which is not, I mean, nobody's complaining about LaMelo Ball or, PJ Washington's been good, but they haven't really hit the draft very well.
See, I partially quibble with that one.
Oh, boy.
Because I did.
Look at you and I disagreeing.
Yes. I have to quibble with you on this one because, yes, they didn't get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You know who they did get in that draft? In the draft that I'm talking about? They ended up getting Miles Bridges, who before he went, again.
Right.
Well, again, the less said, the better.
Oh, good
they
talent.
They got Devontae Graham.
Yeah, great talent.
They also got Devontae Graham.
Yeah, but they didn't really want him. They got they couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Well, no, not that they couldn't wait to get rid of him. Remember, Devontae Graham was going to be the starter until essentially the Hornets jumped from eighth to third to select LaMelo Ball. They were completely okay with having that kid as a point guard. It just happened that one of the years they just jumped up, kind of similar to what happened with Kelly Oubre here in Charlotte. He was going to come back, and then Brandon Miller became available.
Cody Martin.
Again, there are a lot of these examples where they turned Nick Richards into something. Now, granted, he's turned back into a pumpkin. there's a lot of, they draft better. They draft above their weight class. A lot of their problem is when the way you need to draft, you need higher caliber players. Their problem has been they've probably won too many games. And for the fact that they've won too many games, you spend a lot of time picking 11th, 12th,
right,
14th, 15th, instead of 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th. Take a look at Orlando for a perfect example of this. They have all that talent down there.
Right, they do.
And they've largely been picking 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 7th, 8th. Now, granted, their second best player is probably the 8th pick in the draft, Franz Wagner. But they also got, again, the same crew that ended up getting Jabari Smith. Oh, not Jabari, Banchero, when everybody thought they were going to get Jabari Smith. So a lot of this, this is a long way to say they've won too many games for their liking. Their drafting is just fine. They're just punching slightly above their weight level.
All right, weight class. First of all, it's okay if the dog barks. It's absolutely all right for me. All right, here's the thing. I fanslated that. And the headline is when we post this in the best of, not a describe. The Hornets have won too many games. That's how we're going to phrase it. And
might as well.
There you go. Hornets have won too many games. What do you make of Victor Wembanyama's start? It hasn't been statistically amazing, but man, he is fascinating to me. And do you think they'll make the playoffs?
Pack Therapy is back. It's Tim Donnelly here with your neighbor's favorite Wolfpack play caller, Mike Glennon.
Every episode of Pack Therapy is your chance to get dialed in with inside information on your team.
We'll set you up for every Wolfpack game all season long.
And we'll break down every contest, what went right, and what could have worked better.
Plus, special guests to keep Wolfpack hopes alive.
Follow Pack Therapy wherever you listen to podcasts or listen on WRALSportsFan.com.
See, here's the thing. I love what Victor's done. I think he's awesome. He's been great in spurts. But I know you've watched as many games as I have of the Spurs. Can you ask me this question?
Sure.
Why is Jeremy Sochan playing point guard?
Because of the hair.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Because it feels so just anti-pop to go. They have at least 1.5 good point guards with Trey Jones down there. They have Devontae Graham, who is familiar with the Spurs system, thanks to James Borrego in Charlotte.
Yep.
They have two really good guards. And the biggest problem that they have is the ability to service a Victor Wembanyama. And you would think 1-1 would equal 2 here, but apparently it doesn't. It drives me up the wall, Adam. I can't. Like, that's the thing I don't understand. Give me a real guard that knows how to distribute. I love what Devin Vassell is bringing them.
Yep.
Jeremy Sochan as the point forward works. They have Keldon Johnson on that. They have a lot of really good young talent.
Yep.
They just need a point guard. And I don't understand for the life of me why they're not using the ones on their roster.
Yeah, you know, Trey Jones got off to a good start. I did not believe that Trey Jones would be a better pro than his brother Tyus. And Tyus right now is in exile in Washington. I can't wait till somebody frees him from the Wizards.
I'll give it till give him till January. He'll
right.
be in DC until January. February.
Exactly. But I think Trey has a legit long future. Maybe Pop is just slow playing him right now. I don't know. But I thought he was impactful last year. And Trey's got a bigger body than his brother does. If he just doesn't have quite the offensive ability, but he's got everything else to be a quality point guard for them. And you brought up Devin Vassell. Vassell and Keldon Johnson are two dynamite young players.
Yeah.
I like the Spurs.
They're my favorite team to watch on League Pass right now, and it's not close. The Spurs are great. They're just infuriatingly, like, that one point guard thing is just so infuriating because the answer is right there and Pop refuses to take it.
All right. Since you are based in the Queen City, and I like to refer to you as the man about town in our sister city. I have no idea if Raleigh's sister city is Charlotte or not. It probably isn't. Did the Panthers do the right thing by not trading any pieces for draft picks yesterday?
I want to say no. I want to say yes, but if they're going to continue to play with Brian Burns' money, then the answer is no, quite honestly. Like, if you're not going to keep Brian Burns or a Derek Brown, then why don't you trade them? Because at this point, I really want to understand their cap situation. I really want to understand why they're playing with this whole Brian Burns thing when they could have just locked him up and then made it very, very official that, hey, Brian Burns is good no matter what. Derek Brown's good no matter what. You still have Frankie Louvu that still probably needs to get an extension at the end of the year. You have a lot of pieces to fit. Like, in the better, like, free agency wise, the Panthers need to finish their breakfast. There is a lot of uneaten breakfast right now that doesn't make any sense for this team. And if you're not going to trade any of them and you're going to rely on the comp picks, then I need this to make more sense than it is. The only other thing that comes to my mind at this point is that maybe, just maybe, the rest of the league looked at what the Panthers have, and at 1-6, they're like, we can give you that, but we don't want to because we don't think these guys are all that talented.
Right, exactly. So, that has to be it. It has to be that they were never going to trade Burns. I would have traded him last year. They're never going to trade Burns. They're never going to trade Brown. And that they weren't going to receive enough to make trading any of the other picks, any of the other players, worth their while. Because what were they going to get for an injured Jeremy Shin, Miles Sanders? Right, exactly. Miles Sanders, who I'll be surprised if he's on the roster next year. Terrace Marshall, who can't stay healthy. Dante Jackson has the same problem, right? He can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what were they going to get for a lot of their other pieces? But, again, the guy I would have traded was Burns, but because it's going to cost you $30 million to sign him next year, $28 million, whatever that number is going to be. And they're so far away from winning that it's going to be a bad contract down the road. So that's just the way I look at it. Kanat Edwards, not of the scribe. I appreciate you jumping on the program again today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. We got to lament about hot stove baseball in like a month, don't we?
What is that? What exactly. What is that? Look, the Mets don't even have a manager yet. Not a,
that's true.
We can't figure out a manager yet. So when the Mets hire a manager, we can talk.
Well, we can always argue about ACC basketball next time too.
That is cool. We should have a fun year, at least up and down 15-501. Hey,
absolutely.
Talk to you later, man. Peace.
Talk to you soon, man.